Jetta. The footy's on Triple M. For the Herald Sun's Nissan Supercoach.
Welcome to the Friday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
It is a Friday Rub, and it is Collingwood taking on Hawthorn at the MCG in a very big game. Collingwood fifth on the ladder, the Hawks fourth, top four positions up for grabs. Spent the last hour just reflecting on the life of Philip Walsh and also the tragedy surrounding the circumstances. Game, of course, being cancelled. Rob Chapman, the chairman of the Adelaide Crows, will replay you some of what he had to say shortly. Tweets started to come through now, Damo, from Adelaide Crows players, who I guess have been reasonably silent up until now. I'll get you to read some of that. Before we do, let's welcome Wayne Schwash, who's going to rip this game to shreds along with Brian Tarzan tonight. Welcome to you, Schwatter.
Thanks, Gaz. Collingwood Hawthorn Friday night, you'd normally bound in here with a great deal of anticipation, but came in late, crowds coming in. There's definitely a different feel about it today. And to echo the thoughts that you opened the show up with, condolences to the Walsh family, the broader Adelaide footy community and club and players. And you know, it's such a... I heard BT's comments. I didn't want to believe it. I found it very hard to get my head around it. But the one thing I'd say about football, Gaz, when someone or some club needs it, I love the fact that we put our club loyalties down for a period of time and we just come together as a footy community. It's unbelievably sad today, but the response from everybody, not just clubs, AFL, Players Association, Coaches Association, and the broader community has been fantastic and something that we should feel very proud about.
Yeah, and look, we will move on with what we normally do on a Friday night, albeit with a certainly not the sense of lightheartedness and fun that we normally do, but there are footy issues and topics that we will deal with and address. But, Damon, before we do that, just some of the Adelaide Crows boys tweeting.
Yeah, certainly the Adelaide footballers, guys. Rory Sloane, this is what he, on Instagram only moments ago, had said.
They're all back together now, Damon, aren't they, in this meeting?
It seems like it. Rob Chapman, who will replay soon from a very expansive interview we did about an hour ago, BT did say the players will be back at the club tonight and again over the course of the weekend. Rory Sloane, never met a more caring human who treasured every moment and just flat out enjoyed life. I have some incredible memories in the water with you that I'll cherish forever. And quite recently they went surfing, those two men, on the club's break. Chad Wingard from across town, my thoughts and prayers go out to Phil Walsh's family, friends and everyone he has blessed his life onto. A sad time for all. Make sure you tell the ones close to you that you love them. Jake Kelly, Gaz, the young man that you mentioned before, son of Craig Kelly, and the man that was given a chance in football and then nurtured through that short time in at the high levels of football by Philip Walsh. An amazing man who lived by incredible values on life and football. Privileged to have played under you and call you a friend. Patrick Dangerfield. Words cannot express the sorrow and disbelief. What Phil Walsh has done for our football club in such a short period of time is truly astonishing. At least standards on and off the field. Phil led and people followed. And there's more. Tex Walker, a bloke that I learned so much off in such little time. You've left a footprint on my life. I fell in love with you as a bloke, and I'll forever think of you, Phil. Love you.
Players together as we speak right now, or as we understand as we speak right now, which is the best place to be, I would imagine, when something like this has taken place, to be able to share in the grief is the best thing to do. Now, before we do push on, we did speak to Rob Chapman. Now, this is a man that's got, as we said off the top, extraordinary set of circumstances put in front of him, received that phone call in the middle of the night and then had to sit about the most unimaginable series of phone calls to players to inform them of the circumstances. This is some of what Rob Chapman had to say earlier this evening.
Primary concern at some stage of the day was the group of players you had. You grabbed them together at very early in the morning, and if you could just take us through that particular moment and how they are faring.
Yeah, Damien, I got the call 3:30 this morning, from the police, and, you know, like you just expressed, or Jason did, you know, it's just shock. You just don't want to believe it. You certainly don't expect it. And, you know, from there, you've got to pull yourself together. I spoke to Andrew Fagan, David Noble, our head of footy operations. We got to the club at about 4:00. And we just worked out methodically who do we need to contact. Coaches and the leadership team first, and they sort of got to the club, you know, from about 6:30 onwards, and you work out, you've got to tell them what you know, the facts as you understand them at the time, so that everyone's on the same page, and we did that. And then, of course, you know, you allocate the tasks out. You know, just everyone rang every player. We had a couple overseas, a coach overseas, and just make sure they know. And, you know, you go through the process from there, quite frankly.
To make things even worse, Rob, one of the difficulties in these situations when it comes to dealing with loss and grief is everyone handles it differently. Some people respond, some don't, some shut off. What's the process around your staff and your players and all those involved now to monitor how everyone does cope with the situation?
You're so right, and we've seen that. You know, there's no one-size-fits-all answer here. You can't just prescribe how you go about it. You know, there's 40-odd players, 42 players, and, you know, 15 coaches. And, you know, we thought it was important that we do stay together in the morning. So, you know, I addressed them all at around 8:30, quarter to 9. I said, look, guys, here it is. Let's regroup again in a couple of hours. Go away, do what you have to do. Some sat on the stairs by themselves, you know, hoodie over the head. Others, you know, collectively together, sitting around a table, talking. Each was different. You're so right. But, look, you regroup and, you know, you give them an update. And, look, tonight we will catch up again and, you know, further debrief. You know, we probably haven't spoken a lot about, you know, all the secondary factors like the football and all that. We sort of delegated, if this probably hopefully makes sense, delegated to the AFL. We rang Gillen, obviously, early this morning. And his team's been fantastic. We left the logistics to them. Look, you tell us what we have to do. Here's our thoughts. And they've been a fantastic resource to us over the last, you know, 12 hours.
Speaking of Rob Chapman, the Adelaide Crows chairman, Rob, were you one of the people that had to phone the players? Did you get an allocation of players that you had to ring yourself?
Yeah, we did. It was literally David Noble, Andrew Fagan, myself, at, you know, there at 4 o'clock in the morning. We waited till about, I don't know, 6 o'clock, and we rang the leadership team, a couple each, and you know, it's just they're hard calls to make.
I can't imagine, Rob. I can't imagine you ringing someone at 6 a.m. in the morning, a player who'd be in a deep sleep, you'd imagine at that time, and the response would be one of just utter disbelief.
I think that was, you know, almost the standard response from everybody. You know, it was, they just couldn't believe it. It was disbelief. Mm. Then it was shock. And then it was, well, you know, what happened? I think there's still a little bit of disbelief. I mean, she's been a bit of a whirl today. It's been, you know, 13, 14 hours, and not many of us have had time to really sit back and actually reflect on it. We're sort of almost on autopilot. But we'll do that over coming days because, you know, frankly, there's a lot of work to do.
Rob, as you've expressed, there's logistics you have to deal with, unfortunately, as this unfolds. And one of them was the Sunday's scheduling of the match. Was the decision to not play that game, was that one that the players were party to, or was that just something that you simply as a club and others around the club had to make on their behalf?
Look, I think all parties did, including Geelong Football Club. And they've been, let me say, categorically fantastic throughout this process. You know, they certainly had some views. We had our views, and the AFL had theirs, and, you know, look, they lined up. I think, you know, now, on, you know, cold, hard light of day, 4 or 5 hours later, we've made the right decision. It would have been unresponsible of us to ask players from both teams to run out onto the ground someday.
That was Rob Chapman earlier this morning, who's the chairman of the Adelaide Crows Footy Club, and we repeat again what we said, our thoughts are with everyone at the Adelaide Footy Club, and particularly with the family of Philip Walsh, Meredith, his wife, and his extended family, friends and colleagues, and we are thinking of them at the moment. And the tweets continue to come in, we've read them out from the players, from our audience here. The Wolfpack just arrived at the G to watch my Hawks, but unfortunately it feels like a funeral. RIP Phil Walsh, that's from Jamil Khoury, and that is being reflected. We've got a big show, we're going to push on now, we've got lots to talk about. The Gold Coast Suns have been the big story. Jared Roughhead, our man, has been a big story as well. We'll get an update on Ruff. Talk about the Port game and the Swans last night. Tom Liberatore, story broken by the Warrior again on Thursday. Actually, it was Wednesday. Followed up 2 days later by the others. Pavlich, Magic, Dorpine, Bomber Thompson, Carlton. Just happened to run into Ross Lyon over in Perth, but nothing to be seen here. So lots to talk about. And then, as I said, Cam Newton, my man.
Oh, he's your man.
My man.
I think he's Chiefs, man.
What? Is he your man, Chief, or what?
I'm not a. I can't say I'm a Panthers fan, but he's a superstar.
He doesn't get much protection either, Big Cam.
But he doesn't want it. He's happy to rumble.
He wants to run
with the defensive line. Don't worry about that. He'll run over the top of them.
This is an unbelievable athlete. And just on tonight, boys. By the way, I haven't mentioned this yet because we've had the far more serious issues to deal with. But Collingwood, two debutants tonight.
Mm.
Young man by the name of Braden Maynard, who's a son of Peter Maynard, who was a Melbourne player and over in Adelaide, and also is a good Shepparton boy, Shepparton United boy, Bristol. And then a number 30 Guernsey. There'll be a boat running around by the name of Moore in the 30 Guernsey for Collingwood. And this time it's Darcy Moore, the son of the dual Brownlow medalist, Peter Percy Moore.
Will he have
He's
the,
a great man, Peter Moore.
Will he have the white ankle guards over his socks? Wouldn't that look awesome if he did?
He was a star, Peter Moore.
Two Brownlows, two clubs.
Yeah, and he was one of those blokes that was far too smart to play AFL footy. And just played anyway. Just
he's a lawyer that got into gold mining.
Skiing.
He's a gun skier, let me tell you.
Full-time skier now. But it was interesting because Darcy Moore played in the VFL last week. So did Shaun Makers, who's playing for Hawthorn tonight. I believe Darcy played on Shaun Makers, or Shaun Makers played on Darcy.
Is that right?
Darcy kicked three, I think.
Yeah, there you go, Brisler. Well.
And no changes. Two teams tonight. Blair for Collingwood, the sub, and for Hawthorn, Suckling.
All right, Damo. Gold Coast Suns. Now, back in March the 30th, when you broke this story about the Carmichael Hunt involvement, you delivered it, you put a bow around it, and you hand-delivered it to the AFL, and they said, and to the Gold Coast Suns, and they just said, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
And here we are 3 months down the track and the whole joint's blown up.
No, guys, they covered it up. And I'm not deviating from that assessment of it. They were made aware, no, they either were aware or they were certainly made aware by the Footy Show at that period of time about what has played out this week in a very public way. And by extension of what not only saying there was nothing to see here, Brian, they actually went a step further and said, actually, you know what? Gold Coast is actually one of the better clubs when it comes to the records we've got on drugs. And that was a view endorsed, swatted by the chairman of the club, John Witherif, who said that they were told by the AFL we're in the top, quote, quartile of clubs when it came to this. So, anyway, had they done just even a minuscule amount of digging, Gaz, they would have got to the bottom of it and they would not have been embarrassed by what was on the News Limited papers on the Sunday just gone. And they then wouldn't have been embarrassed by the digging that went on as a result of that. They would have been able to say and present to the public the fact that they'd looked into it and had dealt with stuff privately. And that's what how it would have been. But today and throughout the course of the week, they are rabbits in spotlights, this football club and the AFL, as a result of not doing what they were obliged to do as organisations when this matter was first put to them back in March.
This is the AFL's club, Damien.
They run the club totally. There's $100 million have
club,
gone
so
into
the
it.
The rabble is being run by the AFL.
Correct. The chief executive officer during the formative years, Travis Auld, is now at the AFL as Gillon McLaughlin's 2IC. So, look, the way we look at these things, it's under his watch this happened.
Have they been up there this week looking really closely at things? I believe Mark Evans.
Mark Evans spent some time there. You'll find there's been player managers up there. There's issues, BT. I mean, the spin-off out of this is not good. You've got a situation where Sam Day, in the eyes of managers around the competition, he's out. Daniel Gorringe is out. Charlie Dixon is out. There's another situation of Jaeger O'Meara, contracted for next year, exploring options, looking at property in Melbourne. Unlikely that the club's going to entertain talks about him, but at the same time, they're going to have a situation where when he's out of contract at the end of next year, what do they get for him if he just walks? The conversations have already been had with O'Meara. So, and it's not just those four players I've mentioned. There are more. There's going to be an exodus. There's going to be 7, 8, maybe 9, maybe 10 out of that club. And I'm sorry, the way they are now, it is not a good club if you're a parent of a young teenager wanting to send your kid up to that part of the world and that club.
Might have been a meeting in Melbourne today with regards to Sam Day and one other. But
who beat it?
That was interesting. I actually saw it.
Oh, go on.
Who did you meet with?
Given me
tell me off,
the memory
off
of it,
at least.
The other thing, though, but, Damo, you're talking about some big numbers.
Yep.
Traditionally, we don't see that much in terms of player movement, do we?
No, we don't. But we don't also see what this club has been enduring.
Guys like you mentioned Jaeger O'Meara, I think as straight as an arrow. Dion Prestia, who I know really well and personally, straight as an arrow. Guys that are straight within the footy club would be saying to themselves, do I want to be part of this now? And imagine trying to attract a player to that club now.
And that's what they're now dealing with. This was the year they were meant to launch, and yet it's been the year they've gone backwards.
Hey, Damo, given the size of the investment from the AFL, do they then plug some of their own people in this organisation on the ground day to day moving forward?
They effectively are anyway, Shorter. I mean, Travis Ord has kept a close eye on it. To answer your question, that's what they've done from day one with it. It's an AFL club. It's not capable of running on its own 2 feet at the moment. And after the turmoil of this week, and we haven't yet even touched on the Bunnell situation with this, Gaz, the historical photos that relate to 2013 that were run.
Another term often used when making decisions around recruiting, Warrior, is due diligence.
Yep.
Now, and I'm not suggesting anything with any of the players you mentioned, but if there's going to be traffic and some players changing clubs, geez, clubs would want to do their due diligence, wouldn't they, to make sure they know what they're getting?
Yeah, they have to. They have to.
Given the environment that these players are coming out of.
Yeah, and that in itself is an inexact science, Chief.
Yep. Because there's only so much you can actually find out.
The due diligence will take you so far, but it's not going to take you to the seedy underbelly if that's, in fact, where someone comes from. And, I mean, due diligence on Jack Darling meant Jack Darling slipped through to 25 because he's a rat bag because he dragged a couple into his tent when he went on a school camp wrestle. Now, that could have been reason to put him at number one in your eyes.
Yes.
but not just having him slide so far down the track. So the due diligence is absolutely vital, but how much weight you put on it then becomes a matter of a subjective issue.
And we're, I was only talking today with Lingy and also Bluey McKenna about this, and it's really hard because only certain players know certain things. For instance, you know, if we were looking at Hawthorn playing here tonight, Sam Mitchell, you know, tends to spend probably a lot more time at home, still part of the leadership group, but he wouldn't know what Luke Hodge knows, who tends to mix with the players a little bit more.
The player you're talking about there is Gary Ablett, who is the leader
of
this football club.
That's right.
And he comes out through the week and says, we don't have a drug culture.
Yeah.
Gary,
he actually doesn't
respect,
know.
Mate, you'd have no idea.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's not necessarily having a crack at him, because I was asking Nick Riewoldt on Wednesday on the footy show and Nicky Dell. So I just sat down and I said, boys, would you know? And they both sort of said, look, you have a feeling, you know, it's hard to keep secret, but we wouldn't know everything. We wouldn't know it all. You know, we try to be across it. And then I asked them, well, what do you do? What do you do as a leader? You can't go up and say, don't do drugs. Well, you can. But, I mean, they said, well, what you've got to do is try to provide an environment that is, it's without having been said, you know, it's frowned upon or the respect factor would be lost. Not going to clean up the joint, but that's the sort of culture you've got to have. And philosophically, though, I mean, from a journalist's point of view, you've had photos of Carmichael Hunt standing at the golf course with eight other players in your possession for 3 months and have chosen not to go with them.
Yes, we have chosen that, and you're part of those conversations. We had legal clearance to name those names, and we chose not to for other reasons.
Carmichael Hunt through the week said, yes, we partied, we went and played golf, and then we just hoovered up a couple of bags of coke. I'm talking
to the Queensland Crime and Corruption Commission evidence, and the fact that there were nine, and the fact that he gave evidence to say that there were at least two who didn't partake.
So why did the Herald Sun decide to then that it was a good idea to run with this photo? Well, and by the way, did they pay for this photo? Or
Do we want
further investigation required? Is it?
Going to look into this very closely, BT.
They were offered those photos, by the way, to every media outlet, including the Footy Show and Channel. And I'm not being holier than thou here. We chose not to buy them or the nine.
Well, you
years.
Already had some. But
No. Yeah. These were the actual Harley Bunnell jobs.
But they'll put to Channel 9 and early in the week. They'll put to Fairfax. And there was a figure of $15,000 attached to them. And I wasn't part of the nine discussions. I've been told that not only were they not interested in the photos, that they certainly weren't going to be paying for anything. So that was that.
But that's a philosophical anyway. That's a philosophical decision you make. But if you are diametrically opposed to paying anything for anything, and you beat your chest like you sit at the right hand of the Father, and you stamp your feet when someone does, then if the organisation you work for does, then you resign.
You resign?
Yeah. On principle, don't
Fair point. I didn't thought of it that way.
On principle.
Yeah.
You say, I've done for 4 weeks, for 5 months, I've said, you don't do this. This is reprehensible. So when your own employer does, you resign.
NOJ.
Hey, Jared Ruffhead, our man, Jim. By the way, Jim and Duke are on holidays, if anyone wants to know.
Or if anyone cares.
Yep. No, they do care. People are saying, where are Jim and Duke?
Haven't they gone over to the trap by the volcanic ash?
I'm just saying they've gone on holidays in the middle of the footy season.
And I hope they're covered in ash.
Yeah.
Me too.
Just extraordinary.
Hope it's coming out their ears.
Yeah, he took a selfie last night too, Jim. Gary, on his Instagram
account. By the pool.
Can you believe that?
Well, it's like...
He took a selfie.
Doing what he does best, Damo.
Well, it looked like a selfie.
You're like Cam Newton going on holidays about just before the Super Bowl. I mean, anyway, apparently you can do that here. Jared Ruffhead, who is a favourite of ours and a favourite of a lot of people and a superstar. It was also disturbing news when the release was came out yesterday that he'd had a...
melanoma
on his lip cut out, and we've the picture's public, Chief. No, they're not public at all, but it was a sizable cut. I was in contact with Ruff yesterday. He was in fine form. He informed me that his modelling career is probably over, but he suggested that he was going to go down the Calvin Klein path from an underwear point of view. But Chief didn't understand. We've got to wait a few days before we find out exactly how it is, but we've got everything crossed, and the signs are reasonably positive, or is that...
Well, you're hopeful. I mean, everything went as well as it possibly could, and the surgeon was very happy with the way that the operation went. But until they get the results of the biopsy middle to late next week, you can't be 100% sure.
My memories of Jared Ruffhead when it comes to sunscreen and all that is he's been ultra careful.
Incredibly diligent, Brian. Yeah. He wears hats, sunscreen, long sleeves, does everything right. And he checks, he gets full-blown checks 6 months every late. 6 months. Yep. So he can't do much more.
No, he cannot. And, I mean, alarm bells go off when we talk melanoma, which was the start, of course, of Jim Steins' eventual tragic death. So if there's a message in all this for everyone, and I'm one of the worst offenders, is that to pull your head in, put a hat on, cover up,
and
get checked out. And we're slow to learn sometimes, but there is the great man who's going to be missing hopefully only two or three games, and that's only a very small part of it all, his footy career. But I know he'll be listening tonight. Ruffage, you'll be sitting at home listening, maybe with a froth. So we wish you well, champ.
Hey,
not having a froth.
Why couldn't he?
I wouldn't have thought he's having a froth.
Through a straw? Why? Or you think he'll leak out his lip?
Come on.
He can have one, Chief.
Don't take the mickey.
I'm not taking the mickey, I think. In fact, I'll text him and find out if he is.
Now, just before we get our next guest in here from Carolina Panthers, can I ask you, Gaz, and Jason, and Swatter, your opinion on the tackle last night, the thumping tackle that...
Joe Schultz.
Yeah.
Richards.
Knocked out Teddy Richards, and he seems to have recovered quickly. Some do, but what did you make of it?
In trouble, I'd say.
Yeah. On the basis of what's already happened, or on the basis of it was a sling tackle? Because it wasn't a sling tackle,
It wasn't, but the option would have been there not to forcefully... I say slam, but whatever you want, whatever term you want to use, into the ground while his both arms are pinned.
So we're no longer allowed to twist and roll.
No, not aggressively, I would suggest.
I just don't like the term sling tackle.
We get
too wound up about it.
Let me tell you, there
wasn't that much of a difference.
No,
I don't see a marked difference between Bryce Gibbs' tackle and Jay Schultz's tackle. And for that reason, he's got to be in trouble.
Chief, I did see the difference. I didn't see a double or a second motion, so to speak, with Jay Schultz.
You need to look at it.
Well, I didn't see a second motion in the first one. I didn't see a problem with either of them.
I did with Bristle.
They were both going the same way, momentum-wise.
Bristle.
Yes, Gary?
I can't let that pass.
No, you should. You should, because it's the perfect tackle.
Well, I'm not. There was a double motion with Bryslett.
Oh, I didn't think there was.
Well, you didn't pick him up.
No. I won't have it.
So you don't think there's a similar double motion in Jay Schultz?
Not as pronounced.
Maybe not as pronounced, but there is still the same motion.
When he had his arms pinned and he started to twist, he had the option then of just dropping his own knees, I'm talking Jay Schultz, and dragging him down as opposed to, if you want, fling or
something. So there was a tackle earlier in the game where he pinned both arms and he drove him forward in the tackle and rammed his head into the turf, but he got up and he was fine. So that's okay.
I can't remember that. I'm not deliberately saying that.
The game, though, to me, is my take on it. It can't let this Jay Schultz matter go, even though I don't believe it's as serious as Bryce Gibbs. The game itself, 2 weeks after, it suspended a man for the weeks it did on Bryce Gibbs. It can't have, as an outcome, within the rules, a situation where a player is carried off, given what they decided 2 weeks ago. So the outcome now, to me, has to mean that Jay Schultz misses a game.
Let me jot these down. Bump out.
Bump's not out.
Tackling's
not out. No, only if you knock someone out, BT.
High marking out.
Kicking goals out.
Out. Yeah, kicking goals out.
Just turn up so and shake
hands. You can't do it.
Let me just...
Why you do that?
Bump, tackle, high mark, kicking goals.
Why you do that, Brian? Let me say, last week there was a man in our box by the name of Danny Frawley. I've never seen more nervous about the fact that he'd spruiked and
I heard it
up
all.
Tony Lockett. Yes. Right now, there's a bloke called Big Nose who is similarly nervous because Cam Newton, the man he has spruiked and pumped up, ain't appeared just yet.
The snorkel, she's a no-go at this stage. But we are waiting for the big man here. He earns 100 mil, so he probably thinks he's entitled to be late. But let me tell you.
Here he comes, Rod.
Cam.
He looked.
Going for it all. And the pass caught for the touchdown. Steve Smith. A perfectly thrown pass by Cam Newton.
Newton dives. And he's in. Touchdown.
Newton running. Newton gets to the corner. Cam down the sideline. Still on his feet, Cam Newton, touchdown Carolina, what a play!
NFL royalty joins us live in the box. No. Not too many men can overawe this box of superstars, but they have just retreated back into their seat. Brian Taylor, this man here, is almost on his knees. Cam, welcome.
Cam, you're late.
Oh, come on.
It was traffic, tardiness and traffic.
Cam, you may not realise, and it is great to have you, by the way, and we'll get more into your unbelievable playing and contract situation over there at Carolina. This man here, right here, Brian Taylor, was one of the all-time great goal kickers
I was
of
like
our
you.
Game.
Oh, really?
I
was the
hero of our
game.
Himself to you before you
really?
Walked in.
Yeah. And, that's nice to hear. I mean, especially with trying to become familiar with this AFL, you have to be able to not only be athletic, but also learn how to kick as well.
Look at his fat guts. He's not that athletic. He's just let himself know.
He would have been a guard or a center.
He would have been a tackle over there.
It was a while ago, Cam.
You're asking questions before we came on air. How familiar are you with our great game?
Well, I know it's very exciting to watch because it's a lot of hitting and crashing and running into each other, you know, something that the spectators like to watch and see. And, you know, I can't wait to get this show started.
Does it look fair to you when you see the hit and crash? Does it look fair?
No, it doesn't look fair at all because I see one guy, unfortunately, looking one way. Catching it from the other side. And you know, surprisingly enough, you know, the AFL and the NFL has so many similarities as far as, you know, the preparation going into it. But the thing that I can't grip my mind around is how unsafe it is to play these games in the AFL.
Well, it's a 360-degree game.
Right.
So it can come from any direction.
Right. For the NFL, they're trying to, you know, modify the game so much to try to protect us with the concussions, with – you know, ACLs.
They are doing that here as well. We're following you guys on that.
Yeah, but now I'm looking at guys, and they don't have nothing. No shin guards, no ankle tape,
no
headgear. No, some guys even barely wear mouthpieces.
So, Cam, what do you weigh?
What do I weigh? Yeah. 250.
And when you've got the full kit on, what do you weigh then?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Never weighed it. Right. But, you know, It's become part of my skin, feel like. I've been playing this game for so long, you know, since I was 7 years old. So now the weight, the helmet, is, you know, second nature.
So for those out there, that's 110, 115 kegs, which is a pretty good size. So let's just talk about NFL for a moment.
Right.
Now that you've become a superstar quarterback, I'm very keen to know, when you were growing up as a young fella, who did you idolize in the game? Who are the players that you aspired to be like
in
the NFL?
Well, for me, it was always the NFL greats. When I looked at the Joe Montanas, the Brett Favres, the Steve McNairs, the Warren Moons, and surprisingly enough, you know, Tom Brady. Peyton Manning, you know, Drew Brees and those guys. And now, you know, my idols are now my arch nemesis, you know, my rivals.
Yep.
And you know, I look forward to, you know, playing the game as well as, you know, competing versus the world's best at what I do. And, you know, it's truly a blessing to have that opportunity.
Why did he let the ball down?
Why did he let the, why do that?
I have no idea.
That's a silly thing to do.
And then, you know, it was a couple footballs in my room when I got here. And, you know, me, you know, being familiar with footballs as long as I can remember, I've never felt something so slick. You know, it was hard to – yes, the AFL ball.
Crusty.
You know, something, just – it was slip and girthy.
On, yeah.
And I seen a lot of guys kicking it and some guys punching it, elbowing it. I'm like, well, that's different. That's strange.
And I was fortunate enough to go to the Super Bowl last year.
Unfortunately, I wasn't.
No. Well, there's my next question. I mean, how much of a burning ambition is that? Because it was an unbelievable spectacle. I mean, Tom Brady getting the job done. It's where the reputations are made on that big stage.
Right.
How much of a burning goal is that?
It's arguably one of – well, it is the creme de la creme. It's the highest, you know, sports event, I think, that's out there. You know, you have the NBA Finals, but it's six games, possibly seven. You got the World Series, same situation.
But the AFL Grand Final.
AFL. But the Super Bowl is the granddaddy of them all. And it's something that we've all been wishing for ever since we was little blokes, right? You know, you know, growing up and always just dreaming of playing the Super Bowl. And I haven't attended one yet.
Never been.
I don't want to go until I'm in it. And I don't think that day is too far from me. Hoping.
Kem, you get a long time off within the calendar year, don't you, as an NFL player? You've got a 16-week season, then followed by the playoff games. Mm-hmm. What right now, I mean, your season starts in about September. You are obviously able to not have a massive build-up as a club. How many weeks out of the 52 would you be involved by way of your contract with football?
It's not necessarily that off period because – in order for us as athletes to stay on top of our game, we always have to do something to stimulate our mind, to stimulate our body, to stay in shape. And that's pretty much why I'm here. You know, I'm partnering with Gatorade and, you know, the Richmond Tigers to better my game. I'm always looking for an edge. I'm always looking for something that's going to give me that added advantage, you know, come football season. Whether eating habits, whether, you know, putting the proper fuel in my body, or even, you know, working out habits that I can incorporate to my daily rituals that can give me that extra oomph come game time.
Hey, your playbook, Cam, it's extensive. There's a lot of plays that can unfold during the course of the game. As the quarterback, do you have the freedom from your coach to make adjustments or go with a different play if you've been given a different play from
absolutely,
the
sidelines? Absolutely, we do. You know, you hear, you know, the quarterback cliches come to the line, audible, check wide 80, easy, easy, easy. You know, Peyton Manning, Omaha, you know, those type of things.
Or LeBron, give it to me.
Yeah, move. get out the way. You know what I'm saying? But that's you know, something that separates the great ones from the regular guys, because the guys who are great, they come to the line of scrimmage and the game slows down for them, and they understand, they keep it simple, reasonable, and their game is so efficient that it's easy to them, but it's hard for other people to stop.
It's interesting because you sign a 5-year, $103 million contract, whatever it is, and all of a sudden the discussion is about, do you change the way you play? Mm-hmm. When, in fact, it's the way you've been playing that gets you that sort of deal. But you're a little unique in terms of quarterback, in terms of the amount that you rush, run, scramble, and actually take on the hits rather than sliding in, as a lot of them do, to protect themselves. But I did see a quote where you said you've had a chat to the bosses at Carolina and said, I need to play a bit smarter. Right. So what does that involve? You don't want to change your natural game, though, do you?
No, sir. You know, that's who I am. When I'm, you know, watching all these different athletes play, whether basketball, football, baseball, AFL, NFL, NBA, PGA, you know, it's something that makes every person different. And my game has gotten me to this point and will continually – get me higher and higher by the way I play. I have to be smarter. in the decisions that I make when running the ball as well as throwing the ball as well. But for me, you know, I'm a physical type of player, and I play that game as such. But with me having the responsibility of the quarterback position, that's the automatic default leader of the team. I can't do anything stupid with ramming guys. Boom, as I see some of these guys do, and if you're not corrected, you know, a guy can get up and keep running. But for me, it's always being smart, but also trying to impose my will in different ways.
Speaking of Cam Newton, who for NFL fans needs no introduction, for those that don't think, Buddy Franklin times 1,000, and you get the picture. Jared Haynes is a man that played for the NRL here, which is the rugby league version. You're probably not familiar. It's a different code. It's played more in the northern states. He was the best player in our competition, the best. He, at the peak of his power, left, voluntarily went to San Francisco and tried out, and is now on their roster at the moment.
I did. I seen that.
You saw that?
Yeah, I seen that. He's a running back.
Yes. Which is unique, because we've had punters before that have done the job, but never so much as a guy's gone over to try and play in that position. Athletically, what would be his chance? I know you don't know him intimately, but, I mean, what sort of stuff would he need to bring to the table to make the roster?
Well, one thing that I did see that may be a difference in the game, in this game, it's no question that every person that's out there is tough. Mm. This game is more mental with, I'm going to be tougher than you and doing this and doing that. In the NFL, it's more athletic.
Right.
You know,
he's a great athlete.
Right. How can you make a guy miss? You know, everybody's strong and everybody's powerful and everybody uses their strength in that type of way. But, you know, toughness in the NFL is by default. You know, everybody's tough to a degree. How are you going to use your talents in a way that's going to create touchdowns? How are you going to also, you know, use your talents not only to catch, run, throw, or whatever, you know, maximize your approach? And do I think he can make a team? Absolutely.
So Cam, you asked me about the 50-meter lines out here on the MCG just before. Players can comfortably kick from 50 meters and kick a goal in our game here. How far, if you were to stand out in the middle of the MCG at the moment, it's about 100 meters from the middle to the goal line. How far can you throw it?
Throwing a football?
Yeah. If you had to throw a Hail Mary, how far?
Your ball.
Your ball.
Yeah.
Hail Mary. If I was throwing past the 50-yard line, I could easily clear it.
Easily clear from 50?
Yes.
Yeah. Cam, it's been an honour. It certainly has. We all love the game.
Yep.
Yes. And so we're all a bit awestruck having you in here. I hope you enjoy your stay. I hope you enjoyed tonight's game. And let's hope we can all
pop. Can I say something?
You can do what you want.
I like to say I was heart stricken by the news, and I was saddened to hear about Mr. Phil Walsh.
Yep.
My hearts go out to his family. Very traumatizing to hear such a story. A man that was well respected in this community. My hat goes off to him.
Thank you. Very well said.
Well done, Cam. Appreciate your time in here tonight.
We're all like a bunch of giddy little school kids in here at the moment after having Cam Newton, the Carolina Panther. What a class act.
Yeah.
Your point, it was great. We could have talked forever, but very nice way to finish.
It was all class, Gaz, all class.
I've never seen a guy with such good teeth. More teeth than a chainsaw,
million,
Gary.
What a good-looking man. Right?
Yeah.
What a good-looking man. Yeah. I'm not sure he'd struggle, Chieftain.
He had good everything, Gaz. And he had a good eye for footballers too.
Yes. And picked up who couldn't play pretty quickly. Yeah. I said Jared Haynes a chance to play too.
Yeah, did he?
He was being polite.
Think he actually?
I don't think he knew he was though.
Don't poo on the story.
No, I'm just saying though, Jared Haynes, you know, it's tough because
he's back in
already,
Australia, you know,
and they're already trying to change his running style because it's not the most effective to be a runner. He may in fact be a special teams player.
Enormous task ahead of him, but it's interesting. And hey. Let's go to the Cam Newton of the AFL and Tyson Goldsack. Welcome, Sack.
Thank you. Same salary package. But yeah.
Oh, how good.
So a couple of little knee niggles, mate. Not good?
No, not great. We've had it for about 5 weeks and just try to ease it from week to week. And the weekend off 2 weeks ago I thought would have helped, but came out against Ferro last week and it hadn't helped at all. So, we need to rest it up and get it right for the last end of the year.
Yes. How long do you rest for? Is it just the one?
It's hopefully just the one, but yeah, more than likely it's two.
Because as you said, the bye didn't help, so it might take more than a week off.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got a short turnaround to Port Adelaide over there, so that doesn't help at all. But I mean, we'll play as it lies next week and start running and try and train during the week. And if it's good enough, we'll play. If not, we'll take a week off. It doesn't really worry us if it's one or two. Just as long as we get it right, so I can play 100%.
Really exciting tonight. A couple of debutants. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, I can. I guess Darcy Moore, he's been talked about a lot. Got talked about a lot in pre-season and finally gets his chance now. He's played some ripping football and probably would have been right earlier had he not hurt his hamstring in the pre-season. But, yeah, really exciting footballer. Watched him last week in the VFL and the grabs that he goes for, the contest that he makes in the air will be pivotal kind of up forward and maybe chop out travel a little bit and just always seems to get a hand to the ball, whether he takes the mark or brings it to ground. So always competes and will go all day. Braden Maynard off a half-back, a tough young footballer, so has a crack at the ball, and he's got a silky left foot, so I look forward to seeing that in action.
Hey, talking about left footers, Marley Williams notches up 50 games. I mean, he's had his own challenges, but his season so far has been outstanding.
This year's been unbelievable. Every year he's so exciting. You're just waiting for him to come on as strong as he has this year, but yeah, not without his ups and downs, and he's been through a lot, fair bit of turmoil, but the way his resilience to bounce back and the way the boys have got around him and the coaches to back him up has been a credit to the club. And yeah, we look forward to seeing his 50th game and hopefully a lot more for the Pies.
Young group, Tyson. Are you surprised 8-4 given where you are right now?
Not really surprised. Surprise wouldn't be the word. In pre-season, it's so hard in pre-season because everyone's talking themselves up and we tried not to. We knew that we were ticking the boxes that we had to be ticking. But how you compare that to other teams, there's so much unsurety going into a season. But with a young team, we just wanted to play good, consistent football, which we've been doing, and we've been winning games along the way. And even last week, when we didn't win against Freo, we were still playing some decent football with areas to improve on. So, we can match it with the best teams, and hopefully tonight we'll show it again.
So many good things to like about what's happening by way of the young guys coming through. De Gowie, if you just explain what you've seen in the short time he's been in the game, please.
Interesting interpretation.
De Gowie.
I was going to ask you who he was talking about. I was just going to pick someone random and start talking about that. Yeah, he's been good. The confidence they come in to an AFL team with now is a lot different than what it used to be. You came in maybe 10 years ago a little bit, a little bit unsure about where you fit in the mix, but we're so welcoming of young blokes now that they're almost ready to play straight away because you give them that confidence straight up and you have a long pre-season this year, so we saw a lot of him. And the way he attacks the football and the way he can slot into our team mix has been really pivotal. And playing that, he plays a high forward role and smacks in from a centre bounce from a half forward line, I guess he's been playing. So he's been good. Just his tack on the footy and the way he's been playing to our team plan has been a strength of his.
Trev Varko's been a good addition as well. I thought it was his best game for the year last week against Freo.
Yeah, really good. Really good. I mean, he's had some good games up forward early where he's been putting the pressure on that we know he can put on. But then we've had to throw him down back through a couple of injuries.
I've never seen him play like he did last week, though.
Last week he was good. And we voted him our player of the week. We do it every week. And the ones that played to our team plan the most, So he got it last week and with unanimous votes. So yeah, he was really good last week. And hopefully, like I say, hopefully he can do it again tonight.
Tyson, unusual in, not unusual, tragic circumstances that surrounds this game tonight and with the whole Phil Walsh situation. So, obviously, you're not playing, but down the rooms, do you think it's going to have some sort of an impact? I mean, we have a lot of social media interaction and people saying, and this is always going to be the case. Totally understandable. It's really sombre sort of feeling at the moment. I mean, do you think it'll have an impact at all from a playing point of view?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Without being down there too much and seeing how the boys are reacting to it, you know that they would have heard about it and seen a lot of news about it today, and it's, like I said, it's a very sad circumstance. I mean, the only thing that we can kind of draw from is a few years ago when we lost J-Mac and the circumstances that was under. So
I guess once the ball's bounced, there's so much going on.
As bad as it is to say, once the ball bounces and you're in game mode, then you wouldn't think of it too much. I mean, going into a game, the lead-up to the game perhaps, but once the game starts, then you're pretty much in footy mode, and then you kind of worry about it again after the
Which is not to say finishes. For a second they don't respect. In fact, that would not be the best way to respect Phil was, and his legacy would be to go as hard as he would want you to go. So,
yeah, exactly.
Tyson, one more. Just the quality of opposition that the club has beaten. You've lost the games to the better ranked teams and won the games against the lesser ranked. Is that a worry for you? Is if you're thinking of the really, really big picture and the really big aspirations you've got on the season?
Not really. I mean, the games that we've lost to the better teams. Obviously, last week you lost by a straight kick. Yeah, 7 points. And Richmond, we only just lost, and we probably should have won that game. We let them back in the game early. Geelong, we got off to a slow start, but then we were able to steady the ship and play competitive football for the next three quarters. We beat North Melbourne at a time when we got off to a bad start, and we were able to come back and pin them back. So we've won some really important games, but then the games that we've lost to the better teams, they're only just... And we've been able to draw little parts of our game that we haven't done so well, and we've changed that. So, I don't think we can take too much out of losing against the top-ranked clubs. I mean, hopefully we win against one tonight.
Well, Ty, it's always enjoyable having a chat with you. Appreciate you coming in the commentary box and joining us tonight.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
And Ty, I just was looking at the social media. The Carolina Panthers have just gained another 500 supporters.
Really?
If this is anything
the
to go
on
by.
They've
gone nuts on him. And for all the reasons, humble, interesting, but classy with his... show of respect to Phil Walsh and his family at the end. So well done to Cam Newton.
And just a little tidbit on the Collingwood thing. I believe some discussions, if they could be called that, in regard to a basketball team, sort of 2020 style association with the Collingwood Football Club, with the possibility that they're the
Brian, get to the point. What are you saying?
Westpac Centre may be converted back to a basketball court for games.
2020 style.
2020
it needs something, Brian.
Style.
Basketball.
I believe
spit
this
it
is
out.
Developing.
Who is
I
it?
Believe there have been
who?
Some early chats.
And Collingwood would own a club within this competition?
They
is that
want,
what you're saying?
They would want
with
to.
Who?
Would like
just
to.
Spit it out. Stop being cute. What are we talking about now, Warrior?
Well, we could go on to Matthew Pavlich, I reckon, Gav.
What's wrong with the Wizard of Snores?
Well, I reckon there's... I think, put this on the agenda as much as anyone on the back of his lack of form in recent weeks. And
hasn't kicked a goal in the last three
weeks.
I listened to Rossi Lyon, though, as I always do.
Mm.
He was more critical of those around him.
Was he?
Yeah. And coaches are always quick to defend legends like Matty Beveridge, and rightfully so. They should. He deserves it. But my concern was for him going to ground in the manner that he did at critical times, which, speaking from experience, was when I knew I was finished. Now, Pav's not at that stage, but I think what Rossi was saying, that one-on-one, he's still a very good player, but when he has to contend with a fair bit of marking traffic, it's going to be a bit more difficult. So this would be his last year, wouldn't it?
I think it has to be now.
You would think so.
Chief, do you see or do you detect a concern in what you've seen on Matthew Pavlich in the last... Let's go with five matches, because I think his start to the season was, I won't say as good as ever, but very, very solid.
Yeah, very solid.
Yeah,
that's
but,
right.
But the last 4 to 5 have been a concern.
Last month has just been fair, and I think that's reflected also... the way that the Dockers have played. You can argue that, you know, he's a product of what the Dockers are doing further afield, but he's also the one that needs to capitalise on their forward 50 entries, because we know that Main's not hitting the scoreboard the way he has. Mm. Ballantyne's certainly not hitting the scoreboard, and Walters at times is hitting the scoreboard, but perhaps not as much as they'd like. So they've got too many of their goal kickers that aren't getting amongst the goals, and they're relying very, very heavily on the midfield and sending a 5 forward and these sort of guys to actually kick a couple when they need them.
What have you got concerns?
Well, wouldn't say I'm concerned, because you've got to be pretty game to ride off a champion, but his form's been down, but he takes the best defender. So to Chief's point before, Main and Walters and these type of players aren't in good form themselves. So if Pavlich isn't there, the best defender for the opposition goes to one of those players. So Pav still plays an important role. You'd like him to have more output, but the reality is that he's dragging that best defender out of the game.
Well, they still haven't locked down who that second option is either. They've tried Zach Clark, they've tried Hanneth, they've tried Tabiner. They just don't know which way.
Can they win it then with if Pav's still their number one key forward?
If he's in the form he was to start the season, absolutely
you
they
still
can.
Think
whether,
he can.
Whether he finds that form or not is a different question.
So you still think he can take them there in that form?
I don't know. I'm not going to write him off, but...
I don't think they can, no. Not. And that's not a criticism of Pav, but right now, I think for them, I'm happy to be proved wrong, but if they're going to win the flag, Pav should be getting the second and maybe even the third best defender.
They can still have success without Pav firing, provided all those other blokes... hit their best form.
Yeah,
yeah, rely on little fellas to be kicking goals in September.
Well, plus that second, whoever it is, needs to trunk a couple. Well, as we said, we mentioned three names. One of them's got to lock it down. And Mayne's got to start hitting the scoreboard. It's okay to do all the defensive work. But
he never has, though, Chief, has he? Even when it was going well in 2013, he didn't hit the scoreboard.
Well, that's when he was super accurate. And he did. He actually did.
But not in the numbers required to win a grand final, I wouldn't have thought.
Can they afford not to play him every week?
I think they can.
Not to play him every week.
Absolutely. And I think they'll manage him to make sure that he's fresh and ready to go come the big games.
Do you? Because they're playing him. Hey, what about Tom Liberatore's latest situation?
You broke this on Wednesday again. Another one.
Just for those who haven't caught up with the story, is that 3 weeks ago he had another off-field situation where, well, let's put the word bender around it, to the point where he missed required club meetings and recovery sessions, Schwarter. The leadership group intervened and disciplined him. And part of the sanction that I've been able to ascertain is this, that he had been given club approval to go overseas to Europe with a bunch of non-football mates. They took that holiday away from him and sent him across to Thailand. The club admitted or confirmed this story the next day, on the Thursday, saying that he is in rehabilitation. And they didn't use the word knee rehabilitation. They said rehabilitation. Yes, he is going through a knee reconstruction. So he's in Thailand. Certainly I can confirm he was in Thailand for a period of time. He was still there on the Wednesday night, and he may well still be there. I can certainly confirm it up until the Wednesday night.
Why are you drawing a distinction between saying rehabilitation and knee?
Because the club did in its own release yesterday, Chief, if you look at it.
Now, and you're reading something into it.
Well, you have to with this man's history, with the situations he's found himself in. So, look, it was a big weekend that he had 3 weeks ago, to the point where he missed club-required situations. It's certainly not the first time. We know of a well-documented situation in 2012. There have been many, many other situations the club has dealt with on this front. They are worried about him. They are seriously worried about him. And it's to a point now where it may well be, while he is the reigning best and fairest winner, for all we know, this may well be the last chance that he's got.
All if they're that worried about him, Damo, you been to Thailand? I have. Not far different from Europe. Have a good time over there as well.
He's over there with someone very close with him.
So he's been chaperoned, is what you suggest.
What I've been told.
Schwattie, your point's really well made, though, because when you broke this story Wednesday night, no one, not Ben Smarty, but no one had a whiff of this story, and you were onto it. And the information when you first mentioned it, the audience started laughing.
Yeah,
which is an understandable response when you go, we've banned him from going to Europe, and everyone went, oh, well, that's fair enough. They're obviously concerned, and said, but they've sent him to Thailand. Now, there are various reasons you can go to Thailand, partying and otherwise, but it did seem strange. But if you're saying that he was...
what we're doing here is discussing a topic. Now, I rang the club on the Wednesday night. Not one person called me back. They clearly don't want to talk about it, and that's fine. I mean, they're choosing to deal with it their own way, and their way of dealing with it was to put out a release after we went with it on the Wednesday night. And as I said, Chief, they've used the word rehabilitation.
Well, I think it's important now that we know he's being chaperoned by someone at the club.
No, I don't believe it's from the club. I think it's just someone close to him.
Okay, someone
in
close
a trust,
to him.
Trusting sense.
Very different to going away with your mates to Europe as opposed to taking a mentoring type with you to Thailand.
So the
purpose of the trip changes dramatically, where most people, the crowd was probably laughing, Gaz, because I think, what's the difference? And, you know, we've joked about it as well. What's the difference between a holiday in Germany or a holiday in Thailand?
No, still no, 100%.
But I think Sam wheeled back at the time where Thailand came into.
But I'm legitimately saying you can be going to Thailand for reasons other than party.
Yep, correct. That's the point we're making. And that's, I think, lends weight to Warriors. That's the wolf just tapping his nose.
What?
As in, I get it.
What?
That's I can, isn't it?
You are? That is like, you know what I mean.
No. You know, funnily enough, I didn't mean it the way you're laughing about it now.
I saw something else in the other box, too.
No, let's be very clear.
Yeah, I will be very clear.
Please.
I actually took it as, you know, when you're in the know and you tap your nose.
Yep. I wasn't making
it was not,
any...
no, and
thank,
I...
Thank you.
The
thank
other issue...
To my regret now, I didn't even see the other angle that you could have taken with that.
With Tom Vittori, he had failed to meet the standards that were required of the by him of the club with regards to the knee rehab as well.
So is he...
Look, what I'm trying to say, he's behind schedule and has not done the due diligence, so to speak, on getting that knee right.
Not on his last chance, is he, Damo?
Well,
or is he?
Sort of... I don't know that. I'm now putting my opinion on what I know to be the case with his off-field situations. It would not surprise me that this is a last chance. It may not be, but it would not surprise me.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.